Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for August 30th, 2013.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
We could find roughly 100, 200 parts per million of germanium, and that concentration you will never find in smelted man-made iron.
Warfare is something that's pretty rare. It's not common at all. People just assume there was a lot of war in the past.
We've been looking at climatic shocks that occur to an entire region or to the entire globe, and we also look at the same climatic variables within a building or a stadium.
This week, is there a connection between hot weather and violence? And were our ancestors really as warlike as we make them out to be? Also, did ancient people spice up their food? But first, a look into the possibility that ancient Egyptians had jewelry with extraterrestrial origins. Suzanne Bard has that story.
Researchers have concluded that iron and beads from an ancient Egyptian tomb came from meteorites. A high-tech chemical analysis of the beads, which were discovered over 100 years ago, has revealed that they contain levels of cobalt, nickel, and other elements not found in typical iron ore.
We could find roughly 100, 200 parts per million of germanium, and that concentration you will never find in smelted man-made iron.
That's mineralogist Thilo Rehren of University College London in Qatar. During their analysis, he and his team also discovered that the beads were formed by rolling out thin sheets of iron. The composition of meteoritic iron resembles modern stainless steel and is extremely hard and brittle. To prevent cracking, metal workers would have had to heat it up while hammering it. The beads are over 5,000 years old, so the study suggests that this skill may have arisen thousands of years before iron smelting was invented.
So suddenly we see here a level of skill of metalworking completely unexpected, because it's not necessary that level of skill for the gold and copper beads, which we know you can work cold. You don't need to hammer it while it's hot. But that is what you need to do with iron.
Rehren adds that the meteorites were likely brought to Egypt from the Sahara Desert, still one of the best places to find extraterrestrial rocks.
You have large areas of very fine wind-blown light sand, and if a meteorite falls into such an area, again, you have a big lump of dark material standing out in a light-colored landscape. You will find that relatively easily. And, of course, in the Sahara, these will have accumulated over millions of years before the Egyptians start taking an interest in them and starting to collect them. So there would have been many more in the past than there are now.
He says the other place on Earth where meteorites are easily found is on the snows of Antarctica.
Thanks, Suzanne. In other ancient history news, researchers have discovered that over 6,000 years ago, hunter-gatherers in northern Europe seasoned their foods with spices. This according to researchers from the University of York, who reported their findings in the journal PLOS ONE. On the inside surfaces of pottery shards, the team found microscopic plant structures called phytoliths. These particular phytoliths resemble those found in the seeds of modern-day garlic mustard. There were also traces of meat and starchy vegetables. Since garlic mustard seeds have no nutritional value, chances are the seeds were used to add spice to the stew. Next, the potential consequences of climate change are far-reaching, from failed crops to destroyed property to species extinction. A new study in the journal Science suggests that a warming climate may also fan the flames of human conflict. Correspondent Justin Warner investigates.
Climate change may be setting us up for a more violent future. This according to the most comprehensive study of the issue yet. There's already good evidence from the past that crop failures, strained resources, and other consequences of climate change can fuel wars and civil unrest. The new study looked at it from a different perspective. It analyzed how hotter temperatures and heavier rainfall, regardless of what caused them or how long they lasted, have affected human aggression over the past 10,000 years. University of California, Berkeley public policy professor Solomon Zhang was on the team. He says a key feature of the study is that it looked at all kinds of scales of time and space.
So we've been looking at climatic shocks that occur to an entire region or to the entire globe. And we also look at the same climatic variables within a building or a stadium, okay, so a very small location. And then we also look at different timescales. So we look at changes in weather or climate that occur over the scope of hours, as well as years, decades, centuries, and in a couple cases, even anomalous millennia. One of the remarkable findings is that regardless of the scale, regardless of the location, regardless of how quickly or how slow the climatic changes are, we observe similar responses in terms of human conflict.
In other words, when things get hotter and wetter, violence increases. And in many parts of the world, the future will almost certainly be hotter and wetter. And what's more, Zhang says that data doesn't indicate that having time to adjust really matters.
There's been a fair amount of debate in the literature where people suggest that if the climate changes slowly, people might respond with adaptation, and that might mean that what we observe today is going to be very different from what we should expect to observe in the future. But at least historically, when we've observed these slow changes, we don't see very noticeable patterns of adaptation that have interfered with the link between climate and conflict.
Thanks, Justin. Some scholars believe that humans are inherently warlike, with civilization reigning in those urges. But anthropologists in Finland have found evidence to the contrary. Douglas Fry and his colleagues at Åbo Academy University analyzed past studies of nomadic foraging societies, which live much like our prehistoric ancestors.
People just assumed there was a lot of war in the past, and instead what we found was that actually there's not all that much killing going on.
Of the killings that did take place, 55% were one-on-one homicides, and 85% took place within a self-contained group. And the reasons, when they could be determined, were often personal, like revenge and romantic rivalries. The study suggests that, if anything, human nature is more vulnerable to crimes of passion than to organized attacks on other groups. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, we'll have a whole new set of thought-provoking science stories for you. Until then, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, we'll send you a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.